Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 1 through 4. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, you'll find Bibles in the chair pockets around you. Luke 11, starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, speaking of Jesus, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, speaking of John the Baptist. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Lord, we have gathered on this day because of our devotion to you. On this first day of the week, when we celebrate the new creation that you have begun in Jesus Christ in commemoration of his resurrection, Lord. That's why we gather on the first day of the week. And Father, I pray that as we're gathered on this first day of the week, that you would prepare us for this week that's to come, Lord. We don't know what lies in this week, but we know that you know, and we know that we need you, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for your strengthening. I pray for the work that only your Holy Spirit can do in each heart. I thank you for the presence of my brothers and sisters in this room. I pray that we would be an encouragement to one another and a blessing to you, Lord. And, Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that you would give us understanding, that you'd set a guard over my lips, that I would speak those things that are right and true, and that you would be exalted among us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our Father in heaven. These were the first words of Jesus' response to the request made by one of his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. It wasn't a revolutionary approach because the idea of God as Father had already been deeply ingrained in the Jewish mind. Old Testament prophets had often used the analogy of God as Father, and certainly the Jewish people recognized this analogy as descriptive of God as the source of Israel's existence. Many of the Jews in Jesus' day even began their prayers, Our Heavenly Father. And yet for Jesus, this was the primary way he spoke about God. Not only in relationship to himself, the only begotten Son, but in relationship to others as well. In Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, Jesus said, Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Matthew 6, 1, Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Matthew 6, 6, But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Matthew 6, verse 8, And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have asked that you have need of before you ask him. Matthew 6, verses 31 and 32, Therefore, do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11, Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, the passage from which all of these quotes I've given you have come, Jesus refers to God as Father 17 times. One of those times, he refers to God as my Father. One of those times, he refers to God as our Father. And the other 15 times, he refers to God as your Father. And to some extent, that was revolutionary. While Jews would sometimes refer to God as our Heavenly Father, the Zondervan Illustrated Bible Background Commentary tells us, they rarely, if ever, addressed him as my Father or simply Father. And yet here, Jesus refers to God not only as my Father or our Father, but as your Father 15 times. And that's just in this one passage. With every one of those references to God as Father being a positive reference, as the Father who is glorified when we do good, as the Father who does good both for those who love Him and for those who don't, as the Father who wants us to be like Him, as the Father who is always with us, as the Father who always hears us, as the Father who notices all that we do, even when others don't notice, as the Father who rewards us, as the Father who provides for us, as the Father who knows our needs, as the Father who meets our needs, as the Father who wants to give good gifts to His children. Over and over again, Jesus keeps referring to God as Father and reminding us that as our Father, God wants our good and acts for our good. And it's in the context of speaking of God as Father, 15 references, every one of which is positive, that Jesus restates nearly verbatim the prayer from Luke chapter 11 that we opened with. Also in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus instructs his disciples in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven. That's how we're supposed to begin, not a legalistic formulation, but as a way of reminding ourselves that we're coming to a God who wants an intimate and personal relationship with us. A God who, as our Father in heaven, really has no earthly equals. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 23 in which Jesus is speaking to the people in the same week that he will be nailed to the cross. And he's warning them about the hypocrisy and arrogance that can become so much a part of man-made religion and actually lead people away from God. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, Jesus begins in Matthew 23, verse 2. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. And then Jesus begins to talk about the different ways that the religious leaders had been misrepresenting God and drawing the attention to themselves. They love the best seats at feasts, best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you, Jesus said in regard to his disciples, but you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven, and do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. Jesus is warning here against the tendency that we humans have, and in this passage, specifically religious people, for loving titles of respect. Those who are supposed to be representing God and seeking to lead people to God shouldn't care about those titles or find their identity in them, Jesus is telling us. They shouldn't be drawing attention to themselves. They should be reflecting the attention back to God. But there's a second and perhaps more foundational truth that Jesus is pointing to in this passage. And that is that when it comes to our understanding of what it means to be a leader or a teacher or a father, no human leader, no human teacher, no human father, no matter how capable and well-intentioned, can ever measure up. Because there is only one who embodies everything that it means to be a leader. Only one who embodies everything it means to be a teacher, a father, and that one is God. Our Father in heaven. He is the ultimate of all that it means for Father to be Father. So that when we address Him as our Father in heaven, we're reminding ourselves that we're coming to the one who is the perfect standard, the absolute expression of everything Father ought to mean. And so if we're looking for an understanding of what a father is, we can't simply look at earthly fathers. We have to look at the one who is the first Father, our Heavenly Father. It means that for those who've had a good father, we have another father who's even more, a Heavenly Father, compared to whom even the best of earthly fathers are only foretastes and shadows, rough outlines of the fullness, the goodness, the love that is true of our Father in heaven. And it means that for those who have not had good fathers, or who have never even known their fathers at all, there is a Father, a Heavenly Father, who loves more than any earthly father ever could, and who has always been there, even when we didn't know He was there. I remember reading a book once in which the author, who never really knew his earthly father, wrote about a conversation he had one day with a man who was serving as his mentor while he was in college. The man, John, was one of the home fellowship leaders in the church the college student attended, and John and his wife had invited the student to live in an apartment above their garage. As a result, the student became very close with the family and would occasionally accompany John, who was a professional photographer, on his trip to photograph nature scenes. On one particular occasion, they had gone up to Lost Lake in the Cascade Mountains of Oregon in the hope of getting some pictures of Mount Hood. And on the way up, the mentor John had started talking about the last time he'd made the trip up there. It had been in winter, and he had navigated that narrow forest road in a snowmobile. The trip that normally took an hour and a half had taken 4 hours, but he had gone in the hope of photographing the snow-covered pines around the banks of the lake and the reflected mountain in blue icy waters. Well, I got up there, and of course the sky was thick with clouds, John explained. I mean, you could see the mountains, but the west was all low with clouds, and there was no color, nothing to shoot at all. I couldn't believe it because I was freezing, and I'd rented this snowmobile, and I was getting pretty frustrated. I kept checking my watch, knowing there were only a few minutes left before sunset. Finally, I started packing up my gear. I had the camera wrapped up and put away in my bag and was taking down the tripod when, out of nowhere, here comes this shaft of orange light shining out like heaven split open. All the rays flooding Ladd Glacier, the color mirrored perfectly in the still lake, the snow in the pines all aglow. But I put my camera away, so I got it out, wrapped it, bolted it to the tripod, inserted the film, then I focused. And I'm telling you, as soon as I hit that button, the color started to fade, and within a minute it was gone. College student looked at him for a minute, and then he said, "So you think God did that?" "Of course He did it," John replied. "Who else would have done it?" "God did it so you could take that picture," the young man questioned, the doubt rising in his voice. "Well, no, I don't mean that He did it just because I wanted the shot. If that were the case, I'd be the greatest landscape photographer in the world." "So He did or He didn't do it?" the student repeated. "He did it," John answered. "Just like God's responsible for every good gift in our world. All this beauty exists so that you and I can see God's glory, His artwork. All of it is like an invitation to worship Him, to know Him." "But why would He do that?" the college student continued doubting. "Why would He do that for you?" "Because it's who He is," John answered. "It's like with my son. I do things for my son because I know he'll love it. Showing him things that give him pleasure also gives me pleasure. I've seen a river 1,000 times. After a while, it sort of becomes commonplace. But when my son and I go to the river, I live the whole thing through him. Because when I see his pleasure, it gives me pleasure. A good father wants to give good gifts to his children. Maybe for some, the young man cynically responded, reflecting on his own absence of a father. After the two men reached Lost Lake, they got out of the truck, unloaded the camera, and John started setting up the tripod and opening the case. "You know, Don," John began, "sometimes I don't even think about my kids as my kids. I mean, they are my kids and all, but really they belong to God. While my wife and I were a part of the process and have been entrusted with them, God is really their creator. So I'd say that none of us is really without a father, and none of us has met our true father, our heavenly father, face to face yet. Though in 1,000 different ways he tries to show us he's there, that he loves us, that he wants us to know him, to be with him." On the drive back to the house, John was quiet, the young man wrote. "I started thinking about God as father, wondering whether I really believed it. I liked the idea of a God who knew me and loved me, that I hadn't been completely abandoned. Then I remembered a commercial that used to run on television when I was a kid. It was a Lifesavers commercial that had a boy sitting on the side of a hill with his father. The father and son were watching the sunset, and as the sun descended, the father whispered to his son, 'Going, going, going.' And as the sun finally slipped beneath the horizon, the father whispered, 'Gone.' Then this kid, silhouetted in the evening light, looked up at his father and said, 'Do it again, Dad.' Was that what God had done for me that day through John's words?" the young man wrote. "Was God showing me that he loved me, showing me that he cared, showing me that even though I didn't know my earthly father, I had always still had a father, one who could do it again and who had done it again, showed me that he loved me over and over in 1,000 different ways?" Jesus tells us here in Luke 11 to begin our prayers, "Our Father who art in heaven." It really is a pretty wonderful way to begin a prayer. And it makes you wonder just how much more real and personal our prayers would be if we truly understood what God was wanting to say to us in allowing us to address Him that way, in allowing us to address the eternal, all-powerful God as Father. Let's pray. You know, that opening to the Lord's Prayer has become so familiar to us that I doubt we reflect on it. "Our Father who art in heaven." We're able to speak to the one who made everything, the one who made us. And he's wanting us to understand that what he desires from us most of all is our hearts, a close and personal relationship that has an understanding of our need of him, that has a desire for him, that wants to be with him just as he wants to be with us. And so I'd like for you this morning on this Father's Day to thank your Heavenly Father for all the ways he has protected you and provided for you and shown you that he loves you. Ask him to help you to be more sensitive to those whispers of his love that he gives every day. And then also, I'd like for you to thank God for your earthly father, even if you never knew him, even if he hadn't been a good father. He was the one through whom God brought you into this world. honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the earth, the Bible tells us. And there's no condition there. Honor your good father and your good mother. It's just honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the earth. There's a blessing attached to it. And if you had a good father, or a father who tried to be a good father, thank God for that. Thank God for all the ways your father loved you. For the sacrifices he made. For the ways he tried in his own way to let you know he loved you. While you're talking with God about these things, maybe you're with us this morning and you haven't yet come to know your Heavenly Father. He knew you in your mother's womb. He created you. And he created you for the purpose of knowing him, for the purpose of being with him forever. And yet, that choice to be with him is your choice. He has removed every barrier to that choice in sending Christ to die on the cross for your sins. So that even though you have sinned, you can be forgiven and cleansed and have a relationship with a God who has always been holy. So if you are with us today and you're not sure there's a time where you've truly trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and entered into a relationship with your Heavenly Father through Him, this is your chance. If you would raise your hand, I will lead you in a prayer of commitment. I'll pray the words aloud. You can repeat them silently to God right where you are. All you need to do is raise your hand. One more opportunity. You're not sure where you stand with God, but you want to be sure. Father, I want to thank you for the earthly fathers that you've given us. I thank you for my father, Lord, for all the ways he sacrificed, for the protection he gave our family, for the ways he tried to teach us. I thank you, Father, for the love he showed in so many ways. And I pray, Father, since my father's in your presence now, that you would let him know that I appreciate all that he did, that I love him, that I look forward to seeing him again one day, Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room and the fathers that they've had. For those who had good fathers, Lord, I pray that you would create a genuine appreciation in their heart. That the love that their fathers had for them would be returned. That they would know how to be good fathers because of the father they had. They would know how to look for good husbands if they had a good father and aren't married yet. And Father, I pray for those who may not have had the best fathers in the world or who may not have known their father. I pray, Father, that you would help them to forgive and to recognize that sometimes even those who weren't good fathers were trying to be good fathers. They just didn't know how. And then, Father, I pray for the men in our church who are fathers, that they would be good representatives of you, our Heavenly Father, that they would protect their families, provide for them, love their wives and their children, that they would set an example of what it means to be a husband and a father that their children can imitate, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the way in which you have birthed your love in their hearts for their children. I pray that love would grow and that they would see fruit from all of their labors, Lord. And then, Father, I pray for the men in our church who are not yet fathers, that one day they would have children. If they're not married yet, that they would marry. That you'd bless them with this greatest gift, Lord, of being your vessel through which life comes into the world. And Father, again, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And we offer all of these praises and thanksgiving to you in the name of your Son and our hope of salvation, our Lord and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.